As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Good morning to you, Calvin. How you doing, man?
It's Friday, Earl. We made it.
It's Friday, and it's going to be a cold, wet weekend. We may not even see 60. From everything that I'm seeing until the middle of May. I saw the look on your face, man. We may not reach 60 until the middle of May.
There's that's 2 weeks still. It's Wisconsin. Things change.
Unpredictably. I don't know, man. I've been following it, man, because... You know, my guest, he's down in Charlottesville, and he's having just a great time, 75 degrees. He left Milwaukee because of the cold weather, and let's bring him on the line. Good morning to my good friend, a former adjunct professor at UWM. He clearly is a national award winning writer, former Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, still writing for the Shepherd Express, and political commentator on both radio and TV. Is there anything you haven't done, Joe McNally?
I go wherever anybody else.
Well, can you believe you've done all those things?
Well, I didn't know I was going to get into. When I first started doing radio, because I joined the station that you were involved with too, when you said I used to work for the Journal Sentinel, though, I always want to make it clear that I have never worked for the Journal Sentinel. I worked for the Milwaukee Journal.
And
as a matter of fact, one of the reasons I did all those things that you talk about me doing is that when the Journal, Milwaukee Journal, merged with the Milwaukee Sentinel, they didn't want me around. even though I then won national awards and statewide awards, and I had a big following in Milwaukee.
You were making too much money. They couldn't keep you.
No. I wish I could say that was it. It was more like they didn't like what I was saying. They didn't like the fact that I was actually... writing a progressive liberal column in the Milwaukee newspaper. They thought that might drive away the kind of people they wanted buying their newspaper.
Let me ask you, Joe.
I don't understand that myself, because I always figured newspapers were supposed to provide a whole range of opinions and thoughts and ideas, and people could kind of pick out what they agreed with and what they didn't agree with, and they could fight over them, and the fighting over it in those days, you know, it didn't involve AR-15s or didn't involve mobs trying to shut down the government. It was just, you know, people arguing over ideas, and that I always thought that was American democracy, and I still do. But there's a party these days that doesn't support American democracy.
So, Joe, the Sentinel and the Journal were two, and I know they were two separate newspapers, but I didn't know that they were, I thought they were both run by the same company.
They absolutely were.
Okay, so that's what I don't understand.
There's a very interesting history to that. Let me tell you the real interesting history. There were two papers in Milwaukee that were separately owned, and one was the Milwaukee Journal, which was had always been a liberal progressive newspaper, and the other paper. The Milwaukee Sentinel, when I, shortly before I joined it, in the early 1960s, I believe, it was owned by the Hearst Corporation.
Right.
Yeah, the Hearst Corporation is famous as a right-wing newspaper throughout history. They were a tabloid kind of paper that created fake scandals. Like the old days, you know, there used to be, you know, a paper for any idea you had. And the right-wing papers were run by the Hearst Corporation. And here's another interesting thing. The Hearst Corporation newspaper in Milwaukee Sentinel, was a union newspaper. And it went out on strike against the Hearst Corporation and shut down the newspaper. And, you know, the Hearst, being a right-wing corporation, they didn't like unions. They hated unions. And as a result, they said they weren't going to reopen the Milwaukee Sentinel. They were going to fire all those people who went out on strike. And that's when the Milwaukee Journal bought the Milwaukee Sentinel. And here's the thing, though. The Milwaukee Journal, the liberal newspaper, bought the Milwaukee Sentinel, but it didn't make it a liberal newspaper. It kept it as a right-wing conservative newspaper because they said, you know, there are right-wing people in Milwaukee and there are progressive people in Milwaukee. And if we keep running it as a conservative newspaper, you know, we can have that audience in the morning, and the afternoon paper, which is the journal, that'll be for the liberal audience, and we'll make money off both of them. And that made sense. That actually made good business sense in those days. And that's exactly what they did. Now, that didn't help because the Milwaukee Journal, being a liberal newspaper in Milwaukee, which was not a terribly liberal city, as you know, Earl, having grown up here, right, and worked here yourself all your life, it was a pretty conservative community. But the Milwaukee Journal was the dominant paper because it had always been one of the top 10 newspapers in the whole nation. And it was widely admired nationally, won all kinds of awards nationally. And the Sentinel was the sleazy right-wing paper. You know, that worked as a business model for a while until all the businessmen and the corporate executives of the journal company decided they didn't like having a liberal newspaper anymore. The founders of the liberal newspaper had all kind of died off, and it was now just a right-wing corporation, as many big corporations are. And they decided that they really didn't like some of the opinions in the afternoon paper, and mine was one of them. So there you go.
You know, Joe, they finally, that beautiful, beautiful journal office building, that the decor, yeah, inside it, just historic, right? I mean, the beautiful,
yeah, yeah,
wood author. Well, they finally sold the building, right? After,
yeah, you know, they made it into a beautiful, beautiful place to live, I guess.
Yeah,
with high-end kind of condos, right?
Yeah, you know, Joe, I got a lot to talk about, man. I'm glad we have you on board, but I wanted to begin talking about the fact that Milwaukee is facing $150 million budget deficit in 2024, and at the root of it is, excuse me, the fact that Milwaukee has not received its fair share of revenue back from the state, as well as other cities, yeah, and towns. And this has been done intentionally,
Joe. Sure has.
Sure is. And so now, go ahead.
And you know why it is. You know that the legislature of Wisconsin doesn't represent the state of Wisconsin anymore. It represents the small towns and the most conservative communities in the state, and it hates big cities. It hates big cities because that's where Democrats live, because that's where black and brown people live along with white people and together. And they elect Democratic governments that the Republican legislature literally hates these days. And Wisconsin also has been allowed to create a totally unrepresentative legislature. It is through open political corruption. Open political corruption. You and I, and I think everyone in Wisconsin pretty much knows that Wisconsin is about a 50-50 state as far as Democrats and Republicans. We know that, don't we? I mean,
yes.
National elections.
Yes.
Every national election, every election for governor or a U.S. senator that's a statewide election, you win by what? 1%, 2%, 3 percentage points usually?
Yes.
Because it's a 50-50 state. Well, guess what? When you vote for the legislature in Wisconsin, you now get a legislature that is 60% Republican and 30% Democrat. Now, how did that happen in a state that is 50-50 and throughout national elections, presidential elections, Senate and governor races, it's 50-50, but for the legislature, it is two-thirds Republican and only one-third Democrat. It's pure corruption. They draw lines, but you know, you hear this word algorithms these days.
Yes. So, Joe, hang on a second. We've got to go to a break. My guest is none other than Joe McNally. He resides today in beautiful Charlottesville, Virginia. We've got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. We'll be right back. Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. My guest is the award-winning, national award-winning writer, Joe McNally with Shepherd Express and so many other things. I'm just going to leave it at that for now. But you know, Joe, it's to sit here and we've watched this happen, Joe. By design, the state taking away residency, it had nothing to do with the state, but to take away residency for people who worked in the city, worked for the city, police and fire, and to take those resources away from the city, Joel, to not allow the city to raise a 1 cent sales tax, you know, to prevent the police and fire to pay their fair share of their pensions, the 7% that other city workers had to pay. And the fact that there came a point in time where these pensions were going to be due and the city struggled to try to come up with revenue that the state would not allow us to raise cities comparable to Milwaukee. We're able to raise those monies, and then we now get to a point where we're at this crisis, and in rides Robin Voss and the Republicans, well, we think we might let you raise that 2%, I mean the sales tax, but we're going to tell you where you can spend it. Joe, what is all this?
And you know what? Constitutionally in Wisconsin, we used to claim that we believed in home rule, that that the people who run the communities should both be able to raise enough money to fund those communities, but also decide how to spend the money that they do raise. And there are two primary funding sources for both the state and the communities around the state, and that's the income tax and the property tax. And the property tax was always the local tax, and the income tax was always the statewide tax. And I never thought I'd be saying this, but Henry Meyer, who was, as you know, a mayor of Milwaukee.
Oh, man.
A mayor of Milwaukee that I personally covered and had,
a horrible guy,
sort
man.
Of epic battles with, because he ran against the Milwaukee Journal. He ran against the Milwaukee Journal and journalism the same way that Donald Trump runs against the media and any body in the media that reports things he doesn't want reported, and reports all the crimes that he's participating in and that sort of thing. Well, Henry Meyer did the same thing. He didn't like being called out for the fact that he opposed civil rights in Milwaukee. We had a major civil rights movement here, as you know, and you were part of, that was led at the time during the 1960s. By Vell Phillips and Father Grappi and just a whole lot of African American and white activists working together to promote the civil rights agenda. And Henry Meyer was an enemy of it. Henry Meyer fought it. Even though he had a liberal reputation nationally, but he fought it at home. He fought civil rights at home. And he demonized Vell Phillips and Father Greppi and the commandos who were standing up, young people, young black activists, high school age and beyond.
And we had what was the guy's name? We had Harold Breyer. So Selma of the North.
Harold Breyer, the police chief, called the integration of schools shipping crime all over the city, because we were no longer we were ordered by a federal court to integrate the public school system.
Yes,
and housing, and to stop having all black schools in the inner city and white schools everywhere else. And in fact, we needed to integrate schools around the city. And they created a lot of magnet schools. They created some very good schools to do that, so that people would be willing to move their children around the city, to go to great academic programs, to go to an art school, to go to some specialty programs, that they wanted to get their children into.
Right.
And so in a way, it did a lot to improve schools throughout the city. But Harold Breyer said, well, sending black kids to schools that used to be white, that's shipping crime around the city, because he equated African Americans and anyone of color as criminals. It was openly racist, and that is the thinking.
So, Joe, we've got to go to a break. So hold that thought.
You bet.
And you know, Joe,
we're talking history.
I know. I was one of those children
you sure
who
were.
Wound up going to an all-white school. because of those times. And if people really knew the history in this state of what took place in Milwaukee, and that's why I don't understand why people don't want to know the truth about history, right? Well, I do know. I got to go to a break. We'll be right back. My guest is Joe McNally. We'll be right back. You can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. My guest is Joe McNally. You know, Joe, so here we are. Former Mayor Tom Barrett wrestled with the legislature for the last 5 to 7 years, trying to get them to work with Milwaukee, City of Milwaukee. He saw this coming. Former county executive Chris Abley tried to work with them. They didn't want to hear anything. And now all of a sudden they want to talk now. They don't want to talk. They want to dictate. We'll allow you to do this. But what you're going to have to do is you're going to have to hire more police officers. We're going to force you to put police in schools. I mean, Joel, this, it's like they're talking to children.
It is like they're talking to children, and they consider us children. They consider the people who live in cities second-class citizens because they run the state. And as I explained, I started to say something complimentary about Henry Meyer, and then we went into the history. Henry Meyer actually created state-shared revenue from the state for the cities. And fought for it throughout his career. That's the only thing he did during his political career that I agreed with.
Which was what, 25
because,
years or more?
Like I say, he in many ways he was a terrible, terrible man. And he was Trump before Trump existed.
Yes.
who fought the media? He fought the media, and he was openly opposed to civil rights, just as the police chief was. But what he did was say, look, the state has more revenue than any individual city because statewide they collect all the revenue from everyone living in the cities for income tax, but they spend it on their own priorities instead of what's going on in the cities where most of the people live. And he forced the legislature to share the money they got from income tax with the cities because the cities were the places that were producing most of that revenue. That's where the manufacturing was. That's where the jobs were. That's where the most people were. But they were spending it on their own priorities. And when you have a corrupt legislature like we do, like we just talked about earlier, where it's two-thirds Republican in a 50-50 state, that is such a lopsided, corrupt majority that they create that through gerrymandering, basically. I need to put that word out there because that's how they did it. They draw the lines that allow people to vote, and they pack all the Democrats into the fewest possible voting districts so that you can only elect about one-third of the legislature. And two-thirds is Republicans who hate the cities, even though, you know, like we say, that's where the people live. And Tom Barrett and every other mayor, including the current leadership of the city, are fighting to get some of that money that comes out of their cities back into their cities to spend for that, for what all their needs. And we need a lot more money than places that have 2,000 or 3,000 people around the state. All those small towns and rural areas that vote for the 2/3 of the legislature that control everything. And that's just wrong. It really is to take the money from the cities, but not give back. And if you do give anything back, demand that we obey the Republicans statewide who are going to tell us what to do.
Let's do this. Joe, we get to a point. Well, let's take this call of Ken from Sturgeon Bay. Good morning to you, Ken. You have a question or comment?
Good morning, gentlemen. I don't know if you realize, but Milwaukee gets 47% of state funding. How much more do you think you would need?
It's not a matter of Milwaukee. If it gets 47% of the state funding, yes, it is because it brings in a lot more than that. Milwaukee.
No, it doesn't.
Listen, Milwaukee.
It does
is,
not.
Well, I'm not.
City of Milwaukee.
What?
The city of Milwaukee does not contribute back to what they're getting.
Well, you're wrong.
Look up the numbers.
I'm not wrong.
It's simple. Google. The reason why the Republicans want to control spending is because the state would be broke. Look at Evers. He wants to give $180 million to the Brewers for a stadium. That's not even 20 years old. That's ridiculous spending. How much more money does the city of Milwaukee need? 80%?
Well,
I don't understand. You keep saying they're not getting funding. Yes, they are. They're getting 47% of state funding.
Well, I don't know if that's correct.
They're getting almost three times as much per capita.
Hold on, man. Calvin, can you look up and see what that is? Number one, I don't believe you're correct. Hold on. So you think it's right that the state should dictate to Milwaukee what it spends its money on?
That's right. Milwaukee's getting more money than per capita than any other city in Wisconsin.
It's the largest city,
per person, per population. And you keep yelling, they're not getting enough. They're not getting enough.
Joel, could you want to,
I'm just a little baffled by the numbers that he's throwing around. If you came up with this number somehow of 47%, the only way I can figure you could come up with a number like that would be to say that every program that is funded by the state, and that's every program they fund, okay? Whether it's health care, whether it's who knows what, but every statewide program, you say that we get more of that money. That's because we have more of the people that are taking advantage of those programs. That's the only way you could come up with a number like that. And whatever we are getting under those programs are the same things that other people living in other communities are getting. So it's being spent statewide, but you're saying that we get more of it. Yeah, because it's being spent statewide and we have more people. And that's the only way I can figure out what you're talking about.
Well, Joe,
the people living around the state are also taking advantage of health care and taking advantage of any state program that is helping them statewide.
Well, Calvin has been looking. He can't find that number.
That number just came out of the air. I don't know where he got it. Probably heard it on some other talk radio show. Joe would be my guess.
Well,
but it doesn't make any sense. he's suggesting that the 47% that we get, if he wherever he found that number or whoever made up that number, the 47% that the city of Milwaukee gets, no one else gets. And that can't be true. They're not going to give us all this money that they're not going to give to everyone else. That doesn't make any sense. So, it's just a nonsensical number.
So he lives in Sturgeon Bay, a very small community compared to the city of Milwaukee. And it means Sturgeon Bay is not going to get resources commensurate
as much as we get.
That's right. I mean, come on.
As much for health care as we get, because we have a lot more people who need health care and are taking advantage of those programs. So it's just the way that people throw around nonsensical statistics. What they've always said about statistics.
Well, Joe,
make them say whatever you want.
The other part of it is, it's part of the problems that we're dealing with because, again, this misinformation is being circulated across the state, and it creates this hatred for the city of Milwaukee because people get information that's not true.
Yeah.
You know, and so, again, he said what many in is. So, Joel, I don't know if you know it, but civic media now, which is what we're a part of, the station, now has 18 radio stations across the state of Wisconsin. They're in many of the rural areas where people don't really know about the city of Milwaukee. They've heard things about it. And so what we're trying to do is get some truth into areas so people won't be given the false information that the gentleman we just had on gives, because that's why we're in this situation, Joe, where rural areas are being taken advantage of as well, because the shared revenue in rural areas is not equitable.
Yeah, exactly right. And you know what? It is the fundamental problem of disinformation. I've always said that the biggest division in America is not between left and right, like everyone claims it is politically. It's between honest and dishonest. And the truth of the matter is the Republican Party has adopted dishonesty as its political, basically strategy. Donald Trump figured out you could tell just outrageous lies all the time. And the more people hear them, the more they think they may be true because they've heard them everywhere. Well, you know why they hear them everywhere? Because they watch Fox News all the time. And Fox News is a constant disinformation source in America. And they will adopt the arguments of the most outrageous. It's certainly not a conservative TV network. It's a right-wing, dishonest network that lies all the time to people who want lies. That was proven during the trial that was called off at the last minute when Fox News settled it for $750 million. and the reason why they settled it was because it was totally embarrassing that the voting machine company that sued them for $1.5 billion, ended up winning $750 million from them, was a company that they had damaged by constantly lying on Fox News, claiming that voting machines, when people would go in and vote for Donald Trump on voting machines, the voting machines would, millions of votes were flipped from people who voted for Donald Trump to Joe Biden on these voting machines. It was an outright brazen lie that Trump made up to explain the fact that he lost the election by millions of votes. And as a result of those lies, the voting machine company for good reason. It's a private company that was making money funding, selling voting machines for people to vote on, for God's sake. And Donald Trump said they shouldn't be allowed to vote on voting
machines. So, Joe, you know, hang on a second. We got to go to a break. Tom and Al will come to you on the other side. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. My guest is Joe McNally. We'll be right back. At 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. Or text us at that same number. My guess is none other than Joe McNally. Let's go to the phone lines. And Al, hey, Al, how you doing? Thank you very much for the call.
Joe, when you coming home, man?
Hey, Joe's not coming to 40 degrees in May. He's living he's living in paradise.
Anyway, the clarity on shared revenue. Shared revenue, Milwaukee sends more money to the state than the state sends back. If we got 47% of the money, it would be 47% of what we spent. Therefore, the state is not paying anything for the city of Milwaukee. They are taking from Milwaukee and spreading it out all over everywhere else, but they're not returning any of the funds that we sent to them. So people need to understand, shared revenue, Milwaukee, Racine, Beloit, those cities with the largest population contribute more to the state budget than we ever get back from it. So I just want to make sure everybody understands what they're talking about.
Al? I mean, Joe?
Yes, sir.
Joe?
Al, you're absolutely right. And the other thing that is so obvious is that we don't elect Republicans to run our city, but they want to run our city if they give us any money. give us any of our money back. they want to control our city. And we have chosen not to let them do that because they don't believe in the same things we believe. We actually believe that black and brown people and white people can live together and support each other and care for each other. And that they should have the right to health care, equal education, well-funded education, well-funded health care, well-funded voting rights. And they don't believe in those things. And we know they don't, and that's why we do not elect them to run our cities.
Al.
Just saying that I just want people to understand the term shared revenue, where this man is talking about we get 47%. If we get 47% of what we spent them, we'd be in good shape. But we do not. We get about 5% of what we send in, and everybody else takes our resources and utilizes them everywhere else. And they shortchange us. And then the legislature refuses to allow us to raise individual taxes or what have you to the point where we can help ourselves because they want control over the city, just like Joel said.
Hey, Al, thank you.
Okay.
Thank you very much for the call. I appreciate it. Let's go to Tom from L.A. Hey, good morning to you, Tom. Thank you very much for the call. You say what?
Hey, Earl, first off, we the people ultimately are the government, and that includes all of us, and we must never forget that. And that's why we the people, I guess, have to set other we the people straight in terms of their facts. The gentleman that called in before doesn't know what the hell he's talking about, because you can do a simple Google search, and it does Milwaukee pay more in taxes than they receive? The city gets only 66 cents in state spending for every dollar in state taxes paid. And that is from, I'll even say my source, that is from, let's see, Urban Milwaukee. That is the source of where I'm getting this from. It says Milwaukee subsidizes the state. The city gets only 66 cents in every dollar spent in the taxes paid. But I think that, you know, Scott Walker divided and conquered the state of Wisconsin. And like I was saying the other day, growing up in a rural area, we never really thought much about Milwaukee because it was so far away and it was kind of like another land, almost like Chicago. And I think that what needs to happen is we need a uniter somewhere that makes it where Milwaukee and Eau Claire and places like this are actually all in this together. And there's got to be someone like a Chris Larson or someone that brings the people together and says, look, let's get the facts straight. Instead of having this fight about who pays, you know, this guy calling up and trying to, you know, say whatever. I mean, it's like the richest county in the state of Wisconsin is Waukesha County. And the one that pays the most taxes, that gentleman wants to know, is actually Dane County. But Milwaukee pays the over, or gets back only 66 cents for every dollar they spend. So let's get facts straight here, people. And, you know, stop with stereotypes. Stop with all this craziness and look at facts. They don't lie. The facts don't lie. So, you know, like I said, Scott Walker did a good job of putting Milwaukee into the stereotype of that they can't run their, you know, city or, you know, what have you. And that's just total BS. Milwaukee is the engine, actually, of the state of Wisconsin. And people in all the small little towns throughout Wisconsin need to realize this.
Hey,
that you're all in this together.
Hey, Tom, man, well said, and that's the whole purpose of civic media and why we're spread all
Love
over the state
media.
In those small towns so we can try to correct, you know, and actually bring people together. That is the whole purpose of all of these different radio stations, you know, to really give truth to what's taking place. As you guys stated earlier, the lies that have been spread across the state, we can kind of bring things in order. Thank you very much for the call. Joe, we got to go to a break, and we'll come back
Thanks,
on the other side. All right, be right back. Thank you, Tom and Al.